Today's shiur is Masechta Menachos Daf Tzadik, and we will begin on Daf Tzadik Kamen Aleph at the Mishnah towards the top of Amit. Our Mishnah continues to discuss what we have been discussing in our entire Perek, and that is the different measuring cups that were in the Beis Hamikdash, what they were used for, and what their status is. So says the Mishnah, Kol Midash HaBimikdash, all the cups in the Mikdash, Hayu Nikdashos, were always used a heaping amount, chutz mishal kohen gadol, except the cup that was used for the chavite kohen gadol, shayegdush l'toychay, that all of the flour that was used in the chavite kohen gadol was actually in the cup itself, not heaping above the rim of the cup. The way most mefarshim explain the Mishnah at this point is discussing, and that's what's quite obvious is the way the Gemara learns, that there are two types of measuring cups, one used for dry material and one used for liquid. And the beginning of our Mishnah is discussing the measuring cup that's used for dry material. And the Mishnah is speaking about the gadush, the part that goes over the top, as we have previously discussed. Actually, when we speak about the gadush, when we speak about the overflow, there are really two types of overflow. There's one that goes above the rim, but it doesn't go down the sides, and one that goes even down the side. And clearly, it seems from the Mefarshim that everybody agrees that when we speak about Gadush, it's what's on top of the rim. If it also includes, particularly by dry material, what goes down the side, it seems the most Mefarshim are of the opinion that what goes down the side by dry material particularly, would not be included in the category of Gadush. Midas Halach, the opinion of the Tanakhama, continues the Mishnah, is that when we speak about liquid material, Burutzeim, the overflow is Kadosh, or Midas Hayavish, but when we speak about dry material, Vera Halach is that Burutzeim Choyel, that what's on the side is not Kaddosh. Rav Kiva says, Midas Halach Kaddosh, when we speak about a cup used for liquid material, the cup itself is Kaddosh, Lefikach Brutzeim Kaddosh, and therefore since we're dealing with a cup that's Kaddosh, the overflow also will be Kaddosh. However, Midas Hayavish, when we speak about the cup that's used for dry material, the cup itself is chol, is not kadosh, lefikach, and therefore since we start with a cup that's not kadosh, burtzein chol, so too will be the halacha that what flows over will not have a status of kadosh. Because as the Mefarshim explain, and we'll explain this more when we get into the Gemara in a moment, the Rebbe Kiva's opinion is that midas hayavish isn't kadosh. The keli itself is not kadosh. So what's put into it doesn't have the high level of kedusha, of kedushas haguf. It only has a lower level of kedusha, of kedushas haper. And since it has that lower level of kedusha, it doesn't have the ability to spread that kedusha even to what flows over. Whereas midas hayolach, even Rabbi Kiva agrees, the actual keli is kadosh. And since the actual keli is kadosh, so what's put into the cup has a kedushas haguf. And since what's in the cup has a kedushas haguf, the highest level of kedusha, it has the ability to spread that kedusha even to the burtzeim, to the overflow. Rabbi Yossi says a different perspective. What is the difference between midas halach and midas hayavish? This is not the reason as a Rebbe Kiva and the Tanakhama hold, but rather the reasoning for the difference between liquid materials and dry materials. Shalach neker, vayavish ena neker. Rebbe Yossi takes the opinion that it's a physical phenomena that we're working with here, which means that when we have a liquid material, the liquid material starts inside the cup, we pour the liquid in the cup, and the overflow is what was in the cup, and because the cup is too full, spreads out. Whereas dry material, what is in the cup is not really kadosh. What the overflow was never in the cup proper itself, and therefore, since it wasn't in the cup proper itself, it has a much lower level of kedusha, and that's why there's a difference between midas hayavish, that the overflow is not kadosh according to Rabbi Yossi, and midas halach, that the overflow is kadosh. Of course, the mefarshim, the Karen Ira, asked the obvious question. He says it's difficult to understand that Rabbi Yossi and the other Tanoim, Rabbi Kiva and the Tanakama, would be arguing over a physical phenomena. That Rabbi Yossi holds when you have liquid, the overflow was once in the cup, whereas the other Tanoim hold that when you have liquid overflow, it was never in the cup. You can't argue over a reality. If it was, it was. If it wasn't, it wasn't. And therefore, the Karen Iris says that everybody on the basic level agrees with Rabbi Yossi. That when we're dealing with a liquid material, of course the overflow was originally in the cup and then it spilled out. The machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and the other Tanoim is over an issue which we've discussed, or we're actually going to discuss in Mitzvah Shem again in today's shir, and that is the issue if Kli Sharis Mikachim Shloim Midas. Certainly when the person poured the liquid into the cup, his intention was only to put as much as there is in the cup, as much room, liquid as there is room for that liquid in the cup. What happened was, he spilled more, he poured in more, and it spilled out. Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion, once it was in the cup, even if it was not intentional that it should be in the cup, it becomes Kaddish. And therefore, even when it spills out, it remains Kaddish. Whereas the other Tanoim are of the opinion that Kli Sharis Ein Mekachshim Ela Midas, it was never the intent, and therefore, it's not Kaddish. Ask the Gemara. We learned at the beginning of our perek, a machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. How many kelim did they have for dry material? Rav Meir said there were three. Two isarin. The normal isarin was one that was used gadush, heaping. There was another one that was mochuk, that was level, that was used for the chavite kohen gadol. And then there was the chatzi isarin, which was always mochuk level. The Rabbanan, however, disputed Reb Meir, and their opinion was that there were only two midas hayavish, two kalim used for dry material. One was the sarin, and one was the chatzi sarin, and they both were level. So now ask the Gemara Mani, who is the Tan of our Mishnah? E Reb Meir, if we're going to say the Tan of our Mishnah is Reb Meir, chad gadashu. There was only one keli that was gadash. The other ones were machuk. And our Mishnah says, call me the Shabimigdashayin Nagdashas. They were all gadash. But as we just explained, Rameyah says there was one Isarin and the Chatzi Isarin that were machuk. If Rabbanon, certainly it's difficult to say that the Tan of our Mishnah is Rabbanon, because Chada, according to them, there was only one Isarin keli. And as we just finished explaining, and that one Isarin keli, according to Rabbanon, machuku, was a level keli. So how do we understand our Mishnah? Who's the Tana? Answers the Gemara, Amar of Chizdal Olam, Rameya. The Tana of our Mishnah is the opinion of Rameya. Oman komidos. What does the Mishnah mean, komidos? Komididos. That in all situations, besides for the Chaviti Kohen Gadol, as we explained at the beginning of the Perek, they always use the heaping measure, and that is the opinion of our Mishnah. So we learned in our Mishnah a three-way machloikis. How do we look at these different kelim? Midas halach, brutzeim kaddish. The midas halach, the inside, the Tanakama's opinion was that the midas halach brutzeim kaddish, or midas hayavish brutzeim choil. B'may komufki, ask them what is the basis of the machloikis in our Mishnah. And as all the mefarshim point out, and we'll focus on this as we learn the Gemara, it would seemingly make sense to say that the way to understand our Mishnah is that we have the opinion of the Tanakama, and then we have the opinion of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yossi are arguing how to understand the Tanakama. But it's clear that that's not the way the Gemara is learning. It's clear that the Gemara is learning that our Mishnah actually represents three distinct opinions. And the Gemara explains each opinion separately. And we'll try to understand why the Gemara was forced to learn that way. Ask the Gemara, Maikomifki, what is the Machlokes? Tanakama Sover, Midas Halach Nimshcha Membe Befnim Membe Chutz, that the Midas Halach, when they originally anointed those Kalim, they were Nimshach both from inside and from outside, and therefore the overflow by the Midas Halach also is Kaddish, because it touches the outside of the Keli, the exterior of the Keli, which is also Nimshach. Whereas Midas Yavish, Nimshach Mebifnim, Lenish Mebichot, and therefore only what's in the interior becomes Kaddish, not what's in the exterior. Ask the Karen Ira, the fact was, and we've discussed this previously, Meshichas Kalim was only done once, in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. In all future generations, they didn't actually anoint the Kalim with the Shemana Mishcha, but rather Avedosa Mechant Chosam. The use of the Kalim made a Kaddish. So if the Tanakama's opinion is based on the fact that they were Nimshach, this was Nimshach Mebefnim, Mebechutz, this was only Nimshach Mebefnim, it wasn't done any other time after the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. So why should that make a difference in the Halacha? Says the Keren Ira, yes, the actual Mashiach only happened once in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. But that Mashiach that happened at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu becomes the model for all future generations. And therefore, in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Midas Halach was Nimshach Meim B'Bifnim or Meim B'Mechutz, and therefore, both sides are Kaddish. In times of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Midas Hayavish was only Nimshach Mebifnim, and since it was only Nimshach Mebifnim, the Kedusha remains only Bifnim, even though in future generations there was no Mashiach at all. A Chiddush, the Brisker Rav says, a very big Chiddush, it's not Posh Pshat in the Gemara. He says it wasn't that the Midas Halach, as is implied in the Gemara, was actually, they actually put Shem and Hamishcha on the exterior of the Midas Halach. He says a very big Chiddush, that when they put the Shem and HaMishcha on the interior of the Midas Halach, they had in mind that not only the interior should become Kaddish, but even the exterior should become Kaddish. And that was enough for the exterior to become Kaddish. We are asked when they put Shem and HaMishcha, according to the Tanakama, on the Midas Hayavish, they didn't have in mind that it should be, they didn't have in mind that the exterior should become Kaddish. Rav Kiva, on the other hand, holds Midas Halach, the Midas Halach is Nimshach both from inside and from outside. Midas Yavesh, like Nimshach Kol Iker. So, say to Mefarshim, now we understand why the Gemara assumes that Rabbi Kiva and the Tanakama are arguing. Because there's a fundamental machlokes between them. Rabbi Kiva is saying that the Midas Yavesh wasn't Nimshach altogether. Whereas, according to the Tanakama, it was Nimshach. Why? Because according to Rekiva, if the inside, why? Because according to Rekiva, Rekiva finds it impossible to say that the inside was Nimshach. Why does he find it hard to say that the Midas Hayavish was Nimshach, even the inside? So, the first one say, beautiful Pshat. There's a very big difference between liquid ingredients and dry ingredients. Liquid ingredients, there's nothing needed to be done after you pour them. So therefore, you use a keli which has kedusha. Whereas, midas hayavish, so if you're pouring flour in there, number one, many times you have to add water, you have to add oil, you still have to do kmitza on that flour. So since the flour is not in its final state, it's not in its final step, so Rabbi Kiva finds it difficult to use something which has the status of a klisharis that was nimshach, for such a purpose. Therefore, Rav Kiva says, the Midas Halach, where there's nothing more needed to be done with the liquid material, that was Niskadish, inside and outside. But the Sayavish wasn't Niskadish. Now we understand why our Gemara, as we said a moment ago, assumes that Rav Kiva and Tanakama are arguing, because they have a very different perspective to what happened. But now the question, obviously, is, if according to Rav Kiva, the Midas Hayavish wasn't the Skadish, so what happens when you put the ingredients into the Midas Hayavish? Say to Mefarshim, it's not to say that according to Rabbi Kiva, when you put the dry ingredients into Midas Hayavish, there's nothing that happens to it. It just doesn't attain the high level of Kedushas Haguf, it attains the lower level of Kedushas Peh only. There's a different approach to this entire Gemara, the approach of the Rishash, who says that we learned earlier, and we'll learn it again, the opinion of Rabbi Yoshia, who clearly indicates that there's a difference between the Midas Halach and the Midas Hayavish. The Midas Hayavish was Niskadish only Bifnim. The Midas Halach was Niskadish Bifnim and Bichutz. It's only the opinion of Rabbi Yoshia. So who is Rabbi Yoshia relying on? It's the Tanakama. That's a proof that the Tanakama and Rabbi Kiva obviously don't agree. Rabbi Yossi Sover, Rabbi Yossi's opinion, as we explained in the Mishnah, is the Idi V'Idi Nimshach B'Mefnim. They were only Nimshach from the inside, both Midas Halach and both Midas Hayavish. V'Lem Nimshach B'Chutz. And there was no Mishich B'Chutz. So why is there a difference between Lach and Yavish? V'Ocha Hayinatama. The Lach Necher, when you have liquid ingredients, it first is inside the kala, inside the keli, inside the vessel, or megav the monaka asi, and then it pours out from the inside. So since it was at one point inside the vessel, it got that kedusha that it won't lose. However, yavish ain't a maker. Ask the Gemara, v'kineka mayhavi. Assuming that Rabbi Yossi is correct on the basic level, on the physical level. However, the person, when he poured the liquid into the keli, gavra lemaida tzara kamechav, and his only intention was that what should be in there is niskadish. What's not in there should not be in niskadish. What's not needed should not have a kedusha. So what's the difference if it was or it wasn't? Answers the Gemara. Amar avdimi bashishna mishmei derav, zoi sameris. It must be the basis of Rabbi Yossi's opinion, as we explained when we said in the Gemara, is klisharas mekachin shleim adas. Even though that wasn't the intent of the person to be Makadish more than he needed, it becomes Kaddish anyway. It becomes Kaddish anyway because it's a physical fact. Once it was in the Keli, it becomes Kaddish, even Shlomidas. Interesting to point out that this question of Klisharus Makadish and Shlomidas has relevance Lahaloch Lamaisa, even Bizman Hazeh. The Beis Yosef points out there seems to be two contradictory Piskei Halacha in the Torah, and the Shulchan Aruch brings down both of these Piskei Halacha by Chanukah. On one hand, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that if somebody lights the menorah, and we know the amount of time that the menorah has to be lit to be kosher is a half an hour, if it's after half an hour, you could take that oil and use it. You could extinguish the candle. You could, we know our law because you're not allowed to do anything personally in front of the Hanukkah candles, now you may. But then there's another halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. Let's say after the first night, you have some oil left over in your candle, in your lamp. No problem. Add to it and use the second night and so every night. But what is the halacha now? It's the eighth night. There's no Mechanukah. There's no ninth night, obviously. And you have leftover oil. So the halacha is you can't use that. And that oil, that what you call, you have leftover oil. You can't use that oil. The halacha is you have to take that oil and burn it or use it for dvar mitzvah at the minimum. So the question is, why? First, the Shulchan Aruch is paskening that after half an hour, the oil you could use for whatever need. And then the Shulchan Aruch is saying that you can't. So one approach in answering these two contradictory piskei halacha is that where the person, the first halacha of the Shulchan Aruch is referring to a case where the person had a mind that I'm only putting in I only want as much oil that I need for the mitzvah to be miskadish. And therefore, even though we hold kli sharis mekachin shloim adas, but if a person had explicit intent that it shouldn't be miskadish, then it's not miskadish. The second halacha is when you didn't have that intention, which is the case of most people. They don't start thinking only the much oil as I need should be in the Skadish, and therefore, klisharas mekachin shleim bedas. So we see that the halacha of klisharas mekachin shleim bedas is very relevant. If you have leftover oil after Hanukkah, unless you specifically had in mind that that oil should not get a kedusha, you're not allowed to use that oil for your own mundane use. You have to reserve it for a dvar mitzvah, or burn it, the people that burn it on Zayis Hanukkah, the people that burn it Er Pesach. There's a different way of answering the stira in the Shulchan Aruch that has nothing to do with the Klisharas Mekadosh and Shloim Adas. Everybody will hold that it's not Miskadosh the menorah. The first halacha in Shulchan Aruch was referring to a case where the oil burnt a half an hour, And therefore, the Shulchan Aruch says that after it burnt for half an hour, there's no kedusha on that oil. The second halacha is where the oil went out before the half an hour, where there everybody will agree that there's still kedusha. But again, the Gemara wants to say that he holds klisharis mekachin shloimidas. So Mefarshim ask, even if we hold klisharis mekachin shloimidas, it doesn't change the basic fact. The basic fact is that I put away oil for the menachas, and anything extra should not have a kedusha. Why is the halacha, the klisharis, a mekachin shloimidas? So I saw a number of approaches in the Mefarshim. One approach I saw in the Mefarshim is, as we've learned many times and will learn, the oil that was purchased, we're not talking about oil that somebody brought oil from home, from his pantry. We're speaking about oil that was bought from the gizbar in the Beis HaMikdash. So that oil already starts with a certain level of kedusha. Since it starts with a certain level of kedusha, it's easy to expand the kedusha. Another approach that I saw in the Mefarshim is that if we have two distinct items in front of us. And one I need for carbon, and one I don't. So what I don't need doesn't get kedusha. But here it's all one cup of oil, and it's hard to separate one drop of oil from another drop of oil. That's why we say that the entire oil gets kedusha. But Ravina, says the Gemara, has a whole different approach. What is the basis of Ravina's understanding? So Mefarshim says, as we just said, a person only is going to designate what he needs for the carbon. What he doesn't need for the carbon, he doesn't designate. But what is the reason that Chazal said that even what wasn't needed should have a kedusha? It's for a whole different reason. Gzeira shemi yomru, because Chazal made a special gzeira shemi yomru mitzin as mitzim klisharis l'chayil. That if people will see that this oil was in the lamp, in the keli, and they won't know that it was just superfluous, it was just extra. And they'll assume that it had the kedusha, and now you could use it for your own mundane purposes, which of course is not the case. Ask the Gemara if there is a basis for such a gzeira, master of zeira. As we're going to learn later in our Masechta, we're going to spend a lot of time discussing the issue of the lechem aponim. The proper way that the lechem aponim was brought was that every Shabbos, they took out the old lechem aponim and put in new lechem aponim. And that new lechem aponim remained there till next Shabbos, and then we go further. However, the halacha is that if the lechem aponim was on the shulchan for less than that amount of time, it's possible. And therefore, says the Mishnah, Daf Kuf, see this lechem as a bezich and lacha Shabbos. Instead of putting in the new lechem aponim on Shabbos, let's say you put it on Sunday, v'hikter as a bezich and b'Shabbos, and now you burn those bezichin next week Shabbos, psula. Why? Because as we just explained, the lechem aponim wasn't there the minimum amount of time. The minimum amount of time is from one Shabbos to the next Shabbos. Here it wasn't that time. It wasn't there that amount of time. So what should you do? Keitz yasa. What should the person do? Yanichena l'Shabbos haba. He should put it away for, he should leave it there for the next Shabbos. A very interesting situation. Given our example that we just gave, you put it in on Sunday, and it will remain, not to the Shabbos after, but 13 days later. Shafilu al shulchan al yomim rabim, even though it's on the shulchan so many more days than it was supposed to be, normally it's supposed to be there just from one Shabbos to another Shabbos, here it's there from a Sunday before the Shabbos till two Shabbosim later, ein b'kach klum. There is no problem. And as the Mefarshim explained, and we'll learn the Gemara, because there's no concern of Lina when it's on the Shulchan, when it's on the Shulchan at a time when it's not supposed to be there. But ask the Gemara, if we're learning that Chazal makes Gzeiris, for my Hosn Nami Lema, why shouldn't Chazal say that this is unacceptable? Because Gzeiris Shom Yoimru Mafkidim Klisharis, that people may come to make the mistake that if you could store items on Klisharis, which of course is not true, if we're concerned that people will get the wrong impression. Answers the Gemara, Pnim Achutz Karamis. In the case that we spoke about, that an oil was poured into the Kli Lach. Where's that done? It's done in front of everybody. So people could come to make a mistake. Pnim Achutz Karamis. Pnim Lav Kol Alma Yodi. People aren't aware. Chutz. But the shulchan which takes place in the base of Mikdash, people don't really know what's going inside the Heichal. You know how to go in there, and therefore there is no reason to make a gzeira. However, by the chutz, what took place outside Kulam Liyadeh, and if they'll see that if it wasn't the klisharis, and then you could use it for your own purpose, they'll make a mistake, and therefore there's a need to make a gzeira. Continue the Gemara, Tanan Hossam. We learned in Masech Tishkolim, as we just mentioned a few moments ago, people would typically buy the ingredients for their kabbonis from the gizbar, from Hegdish. So what Hegdish would normally do is they would contract for the raw materials. So the Mishnah says in Masech Tishkolim and Avov, Meiser Nechassim L'Keitzim Mizbeach. Leftover Nechassim are used for Keitzim Mizbeach. So ask the Gemara, my Meiser Nechassim. Rav Chiya by Yosef Omer, as we learned in our Mishnah, Berutzei Midas. The Berutzei Midas, the overflow that you don't need, are used for Keitzim Mizbeach. What is Keitzim Mizbeach? Keitzim Mizbeach is that if there's no karbonis being brought on the Mizbeach, they bring from the Hegdish fund, oilus, that the Mizbeach should not be left idle. I just saw an unbelievable explanation from the Mishnah Berurah. The halach in the Shulchan Aruch is as follows. A tefillas nedava. Somebody wants to daven an extra Shemoneh Esrei. The Shulchan Aruch and the Paiskim frown upon it. But apidin it's mutter, as long as you add something in your Shemoneh Esrei. You have to be mechadi something. You have to add a new bakasha. Whereas a tzibur, let's say the entire shul wants to add daven an extra Shemoneh Esrei, the halach is it's not allowed to be done. Even if they're going to add something into the Shemoneh Esrei. So the Mishnah Berurah tries to explain why is there a difference that a yochid could daven a tefillas nedava and a tzibur may not daven a tefillas nedava. So he says that we know all kabbonis are based, all tefillas are based on kabbonis. So he says that a yochid, that an individual should bring a carbon nedava, happened all the time. So since a yochid was able to bring and did constantly bring a carbon nedava, so it makes sense that a yochid should also be able to be mispalil a tefillas nedava. However, says the Mishnah Berurah, even though we're learning now that there was this concept of the oilus keitzim mizbeach, the nidvas atzibur, it was very rare that it was done. And since it was so rare, so there was rarely a nidvas tzibur, and therefore there's no such thing as a tefillas nidvas tzibur. Rabbi Yochanan gives a different definition of mois nesachim, and as the Mefarshim point out, it's not that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chiya are arguing, they're just giving different examples, but they could be agreeing. Kaiser Shanin, as we explained, Hamakabalov Lasapik Saltus Ma'arba. He originally made up with Hegdish that they're going to be the supplier of flour to Hegdish at the rate of 4 pounds per dollar. And then flour goes up. The Amda Bishalish, and the flour goes up to the price of you only get 3 pounds for a dollar. They made a deal, even though there was no Mashicha, the halacha is that you have to, the original deal stands. There's an issue of ribbis, it's not for now, but when we learned the Gemara Masech Tishkol, the Gemara explained, Ein ribbis lehegdish. What happened the other way around? Mishalish, when Hegdish contracted, the contract was 3 pounds to the dollar, the Omdu Mi'arba, and then the price drops to 4 pounds per dollar, again, Sapik Ma'arba. Hegdish gains, and they get 4 pounds for a dollar. Shiyar Hegdish El Yoina. Hegdish always ends up on the upper hand. So here, in the case where Hegdish ends up getting more flour than they expected, so what is done with the extra flour teaches us the Gemara. That's Mois and the Sochem, that's used for Keitzim Mizbeach. Says the Gemara, and this is very much in line with the way we're understanding the Gemara, Tanya Kavosid Rav Chiya by Yosef. There's a brice that corroborates Rav Chiya by Yosef's understanding, and Tanya Kavosid Rav Yochanan is a brice that corroborates Rav Yochanan's understanding, and there's no machloikus. And the Gemara explains. Tanya Kavosid Rav Chiya by Yosef. Berutze midas halalu maya isben. We've been learning that there were overflow, and that overflow becomes kaddish. What were they used for? Says the brice, im yesh zevach acher. If there's another carbon that this person is obligated to bring, yakrivi imoy, he could use those ingredients for the michas nesachim of that carbon. Memlanu, if they're left overnight, so we know that if it was left overnight, after it was in the klisharis, yisul belina, they become disqualified. Memlav, if they were just designated, but they were never put into Kli Sharis, and furthermore, this person has no need for them, Mekitzim and Mizbeach, it's used for oil to Ketzim Mizbeach. The Ketzim Mahu, what is oilus Ketzim Mizbeach? Says the Braisa, oilus Abosar Hashem, it's brought as a carbon oiler, with the meat being burnt completely on the Mizbeach, for oilus Lekahanim. And the skin goes, the hide goes to the Kahanim. So sort of Mefarshim asks, a very simple question. We've learned Baruch Hashem together many times. What is a carbon oiler? That a carbon oiler is burnt on the mizbeach and or goes to the Kahanim. So once the Gemara says that this is a carbon oiler, we know what a carbon oiler is. Why does he have to say basl lemizbeach, basl Hashem, oiris lekahanim? So I sort of mefarshim say that we would have thought perhaps when is there halacha that the hide of a carbon oiler goes to the Kahanim? That's only when the carbon came from an individual. I brought a carbon, so that's what the Torah says, that the basar should be burnt on the Mizbeach and the hide goes to the Kahanim. But this is a case where it's the Hegdish that's giving the money for the carbon. So I would think that since it's coming from Hegdish funds, then the Kahanim should not be able to benefit and get the or get the hide of this carbon. Teaches us the Braisa, even though this carbon oiler came from Hegdish funds, the halacha remains oiris lekahanim. Continues the Gemara, Tanya Kavosid Rabbi Yochanan, Hamakabal of Lasapik Saltas Ma'arba, Hegdish made a deal that they're going to have 4 pounds to the dollar, and then flour goes up, the Mishalish, Masapik Ma'arba. The original deal remains. On the other hand, Mishalish, if it was, the deal was 3 pounds to the dollar, and then the price goes down, the Ma'arba, to 4 pounds per dollar, Masapik Ma'arba, then your Hegdish ends up on the upper hand, Shiat Hegdish Al Yoina, the Zer Shishaninu, but now Hegdish has more flour than they needed, Moisin Chakal Kaitzim Zbeach. We begin now in this Mishnah and the Gemara, Bezer Hashem Yisbarach, really discussing the Halacha of Michas Nesachim. As we've mentioned many times, the Torah says that with most Karbonis, and that's actually going to be the main subject of our Gemaras, Michas Nesachim are brought along. Depending on the animal, as we've been learning, the larger the animal, bull, ram, lamb, the larger the animal, the larger the Michas Nesachim. There actually is another case of a Michas Nesachim, which is not the subject of our sugyas, and that is, we learned that somebody could donate a Michas Nesachim on its own, not connected to a carbon. But that isn't what we're discussing in our sugya. When the Michas Nesachim is a crucial part of the carbon, in fact, the Shira that the Levim said by Karbonus Seber was not said when the carbon was brought. The Shira was said when the Michas Nesachim were brought. Interesting Sifarna that says originally Karbonus were brought without Michas Nesachim. But after Klal Yisrael did the Chet HaEgel, at that point, the Kodesh Baruch Hu said that Karbonus Tzibur should have Michas Nesachim accompany them. And after Klal Yisrael did the Aveira by the Meraglim, Hashem said that the Karbon Yochid, the Karbon brought by individuals, should have Michas Nesachim. And there's a very interesting Vart that I saw from Chaim Kanievsky in his Sefer Talmud the Kra. It says, what happened by the Meraglim? What did they bring? They brought an Eshkol, they brought a cluster of grapes. Hashem said, you brought a cluster of grapes to be used to say Lashon Hara on Eretz Yisrael. Use that wine for Michas Nesachim that now you're going to have accompany all your Karbonos. We also learned that the Halach is that maybe Adam Karbonai Hayoyim, a person could bring his Karbon today, but Nesachim, he doesn't have to bring the Karbon on the same day. In fact, I saw a very nice part. There's a Gemara in Masechta Brachos. The Gemara says that if somebody says Krishma without wearing tefillin, Ikilu made a desheker. That's as if he's saying false testimony as God. And then the Gemara comes on, continues to say, Kilu hikrif carbon below the Sachem. So Mefarshim asks, what the Gemara begins with is very understandable. Because what does it say in Krishma? Ukshatim lois ayodecha. They were supposed to wear tefillin. So somebody says Krishma without tefillin, obviously it's false. But then what's pshat? The Gemara says further, kilu hikruv carbon b'lo nesachim. First of all, compared to the terrible aveira of made a desheker, How could you compare that he's brought a carbon without Nesachim? Furthermore, what is the connection between carbon below and Nesachim to Krishma without wearing tefillin? So I saw a beautiful pshat. We know there are people that wake up late. And they, if they're going to wait till they put on talis and tefillin and daven, it's going to be past the zman Krishma. So what do? They say Krishma immediately, even though they're not wearing tefillin. And the Gemara is addressing those individuals and saying, you're not allowed to say Krishma without wearing tefillin. Made a desheker. So how do these people say Krishma without wearing tefillin? Of course, the right thing to do is to do it that way. But what they're doing legally acceptable, halakhically acceptable? The answer is that we just learned that as long as you're going to bring the Nesachim, even though you don't bring them with the carbon, you're fine. The same thing. You're saying Krishma. And your intent, of course, is to put on tefillin that day. Just later in the day. That's good enough. As long as you intend to put on the tefillin, like you intend to bring the Nesachim, you fulfill the mitzvah. Furthermore, there's a very fundamental question which we're going to keep on discussing, Be'ezer Hashem, in these sugyas that Chroidim try to understand. How do we look at the chiyuv of the Michas Nesachim? Do we look at the chiyuv of the Michas Nesachim as a chiyuv connected to the carbon, or do we look at it as a chiyuv on the individual? That if I pledge to bring a carbon, so just like I have an obligation to fulfill my pledge and bring the carbon, so too do I have an obligation to fulfill and bring Michas Nesachim. One raya that is connected to the carbon, not to the person, is a Gemara that we learned earlier in our Masechta. We learned earlier in our Masechta, the Gemara said that let's say a ger, because a ger is the only individual who could pass away without any relatives, designated an animal for carbon, and then he passes away. So the Gemara said that the Hegdish supplies the Nesachim. So Rekiva Eger asks the question, obviously the Gemara is speaking about an individual who left money, who left an estate. So why don't we go to his estate and take the money for the Nesachim? The answer is because the obligation is not on the individual. It's on the carbon. If it was an obligation on the individual, so his estate is responsible to fulfill that obligation. But if it's not an obligation on the individual, we can't go to his estate. At what point is there an obligation? But we'll see other opinions as we learn our sugyos. At what point does the obligation for Nesachim come? At what point does that obligation come? Some say it comes as soon as the Emrim are burnt, and some say it's connected to the Zrikas Adam, which is again a very important question, because we've learned, especially in Masechta Zvachim, that there are situations that we do Zrikas Adam, but we don't burn the Emrim. One example we learned there was if the Zrika was done in the wrong place on the Mizbeach. The Zrika is considered a valid Zrika, but you're not supposed to burn the Emrim and eat the Basar. So the question is, would such a carbon have an obligation for Nesachim? One final vart. Mefarshim say that if somebody attends the Levaya, attends the funeral of a person, he's supposed to cry. That is the real point of attending a funeral. Why? So they say that if a person leaves the world, Rechmana Litzlan, he's a carbon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes a person, he takes a carbon. And Al Gemara is teaching us that every carbon has to have Nesachim accompany it. What are the Nesachim that accompany the carbon when a Jewish person, Rechmana Litzlan, leaves the world? The tears of those that attend and mourn over his passing are the Nesachim that come along with that carbon. So says the Mishnah, Kol Kabanas HaTzibur VaYochid, Kabanas HaTzibur and Yochid all require Nesachim. Chutz, Men HaBechor, VaMaiser, we know the halacha is that every tenth animal is a Maiser, VaPesach, VaChatas, VaOsham. Ella, there are two exceptions, when a Chatas and Osham do require Nesachim, as we'll learn in the Gemara, Ella SheChatas, SheMetzayra, VaShamay, DeChatas, and Osham of Metzayra, Tunim Nesachim. Begins the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, V'sisim Isha LaShem, Yochel, Kala Oyle L'Isha, Ishim Yeitah Nesachim. We would think that any carbon requires Nesachim, Afila Mincha, even if somebody's bringing a carbon Mincha, he should have to have it accompanied with Nesachim, Tamaloymer, Oyle Shlomim. Tamalayim Oila, that a Oila requires Nusachim, not a Mincha. So Mefarshim asked the obvious question, how can we think that a Mincha requires Minchas Nusachim? It is already a Mincha. To which the Mefarshim answer, that the Gemara never had a Havamina, that the Mincha should have to bring along with it flour and oil. We already have the flour and oil. The question is, should we have to have wine accompany every Kavan Mincha? Tamalayim Oila. Continues the Braisa, Shlomo Minayim. How do we know the Kavan Shlomo has to have Nusachim? Tamalayim Zevach. All of this will be analyzed in the Gemara Mitzvah. Toide Minayim. How do we know this is the halacha by Kavan Toide as well? Tamalaymer oy zevach, to add the carbon tide to requirement of Michas Nesachim. Continues the Braisa. Yochel shani marba af b'choro maisu pesach v'chatas v'oshim, that they should all require Michas Nesachim. Tamalaymer lefalin neder o b'nedova, teaches us the pasuk. Bar b'neder v'nedova, a carbon that is donated to Nesachim, that type of carbon requires Nesachim. She'en abar b'neder v'nedova, but if it's not ordinated carbon, ain't a dhar nesachim. Mashma, lahaitzis eila. So these kabanas have been excluded. Oitzi, I would continue to exclude. Chayvis, habas, machmas, haregel. The different kabanas that come on yontif. Machmas, haregel, beregel. Umay nihu. What are the kabanas that are brought on regel? Oilus, ri'iya, vishalmi, chagiga. That they perhaps also don't require Michas Nesachim, Tamaloymer. That's why the Pasuk says, Kol ha-ba'obim ha-deichem, Kol ha-ba'obim ha-deichem, Tor Nesachim. So there's a very interesting point that the Mefarshim make here. On Yom Tov, the Rambam teaches us, and based on the Gemara obviously, there are three different Kabbanas that are brought in Yom Tov. Oilus Riyah, you have to bring a Kabban Oila. Shalmei Chagiga, you have to bring a Kabban Shlomim. And Shalmei Simcha. Shalmei Simcha means that if somebody wants to eat kachem meat, he brings a carbon shlomim, and that's where he eats kachem meat. And they point out that our Gemara, when it speaks about the kabbonis that are brought on Yontif, only speaks about the oilus ri'i and the shalmei chagiga. But the Gemara seems to not speak, the Gemara clearly doesn't speak about the shalmei simcha. So they say from here it's a raya, that the Shalmei Simcha, one is not obligated to bring. It's completely voluntary. And that's why the Gemara doesn't mention it, because you're not obligated to bring it. Mashma, Lahavius Eila. So we've included these kabbanas with the obligation to bring Michas Nesachim. Avi, Siri Chattis. I'll also say that the Siri Chattis that are brought on Yontif, Hoyel, Boim, Bechayv, Regal, they should have a Chiv of Nesachim. Tamaloymer, V'chisas Ben-Bakr. Ben-Bakr, B'klal Hoya. The Ben-Bakr was included with all the other kabbanas. V'lam Yot, so why was it taken out of the group? L'hakishlov. Ma Ben-Bakr, M'yuch Ba B'ned V'nedava. Af Ka Ba B'ned V'nedava. Only those have a Chiv Ton Nesachim, not the Sirei Chattis that are brought in Yontif. Lasus Reich, Ne'echoich, L'Hashem, M'nabakim, M'natzayim. Not Tamaloymer. Why does the Torah use these words? Says the Braisa. Lefishin nemar oila, since the Torah used the word oila, that oila has a chiv to bring Michas Nesachim, so I would think shemeyani. I feel oila soifim mashma, as we know that you could bring a carbon oila, also from a bird, that if you bring an oila soif, you should have to bring the sachim. Tamaloymer, menabakim natsayim. Only by animals is there a chiv from Nesachim, not by birds. Divrei Rebbeisha. Rabbi Yonason Aymer, Rabbi Yonason say we know this halacha, that by Oilus Oif there's no Nesachim from a different way. And Harei Oima, Zevach, an animal that's slaughtered. For Oif, ain't a Zevach. A bird is not slaughtered, a bird has, in the base of English, Malika. Ask the Gemara, Imkam, according to Rabbi Yonason, that we learn the exclusion of Oif from Zevach. So according to Rabbi Yonason, Imkam Matam Aloima, Menabakar or Minatzain. What do we learn from those words? The Rabbi Yoshi used those words to exclude Oyla Saif. Says the Braisa, Lefisha nema onim ki yak mekem karben l'Hashem, mena behema, mena boke, mena tzoyim. Says the Braisa, Yoko we would think, harei alai Oyla. If somebody obligates himself to bring karben Oyla, yavi mishneim, he has to bring from both types of animal, cattle and sheep, tamaloimer, minaboka, minatsoim, rotsa, echad mevi, rotsa shnai mevi. You could bring one animal, you could bring two. Rav Yonasan lamali kro. Why do I need a pasuk that teaches this? Ha'omer, isn't it the opinion of Rav Yonasan? Hach yirkov hakosov yachtov. That unless the Torah clearly says yachtov, which means you have to do both, otherwise we don't say that it means both. So why would I have a havamina that it means both, that we need to think that it doesn't? Answers the Gemara, itzrof. Sakadachem in a koil iksiv uminatzoin. Most of the first time say there's an extra vav. Command iksiv yachtov dami. That's why we need to teach us that even though it says minatzoin, you could bring one. Ask the Gemara. Or Rabbi Yosha. The opinion of Rabbi Yosha throughout Shas is, Davgav the likes of Yachtov. Even if the Torah doesn't use the word Yachtov, whenever the Torah speaks about two subjects, command, Iksiv, Yachtov, Dami, it's as if the Torah says you have to be both. So here, if the Torah said, Minabokim and Atsoim, Lebai Kra, so we should need a pasuk for according to Rabbi Yosha to exclude that you don't have to bring both. Yet Rabbi Yosha used the pasuk Minabokim and Atsoim already to exclude birds, Haksiv, Im oila kabana minabakar, v'im minatsoin kabana. So from that pasuk I learned that you don't have to bring both, according to Rabbi Yosha. Rabbi Yosha, who learned this din from the other pasuk, what will he do with this pasuk? V'itach. Itzach sakadatach amina, hanimili, when don't you have to bring both animals? B'mefarish. When you clearly said you're only bringing one. Av b'stam, if you didn't indicate what you meant, maybe there aloch is laisim tavayu. Mashmalan, that are all circumstances, whether you were explicit or not explicit, you only have to bring one animal.